I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message from Matthew 14, the feeding of the 5,000. And as we come to this word, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. Father God, you are a good and gracious God. You call on us to look to you in good season and in bad season for our nourishment, for our feeding, for our sustenance. So feed, nourish, and sustain us this day, O God, that we may give glory to the great life of Jesus, who gave his great life for us. In his name we pray, amen. I have Eleanor, Andy, Ruthie, and Ruth as of this morning. Has anybody else given birth recently that they'd like to share? Because these are the infants that are part of our congregation's family these days. Of course, we've got Ruth. She's asleep now. It's exhausting getting baptized. We can appreciate that. John and Ellen Miller's granddaughter, Ruthie. It was her gotcha day. The adoption was finalized, and we celebrate. We celebrate with Matt and Abby Miller, her mom and dad, as they receive her now finally and fully into their Christian home. I came home last night from worship, and my wife did this. That's what my wife was doing last night. By the way, I just threw out my hamstring. I could use some ice right now. She was bouncing up and down in our kitchen because Drew and Charlie Crying Camp had given birth to Andy, their daughter. It's a miracle, people. The Crying Camps have a daughter in their family. For those of you who don't know anything what I'm talking about, there have only been boys born for the past two generations at least, maybe three. They've never had a girl in their house. We can celebrate with Debbie, the grandmother. She will be going nutty, providing for her granddaughter. We can pray for Dale. He will be broke shortly out of money, because they are excited. I heard this morning from Bob Grotha that he and Carol have a new granddaughter by the name of Eleanor, born to their son David and his wife, and we celebrate that with them. And as we think about not only these lives, but maybe some others in your own orbit of influence, it always raises the question, how do we ensure in this congested, confused, and confusing time, how do we ensure that these children grow up healthy, strong, wise? How do we make sure they grow up well? In other words, what's the recipe for their lives? School's coming up and going to be starting here shortly. Kids will move into their next grade north, and as they do so, parents will begin another year of growth and development in their children. And it will raise new questions. What is the specific spice that has to be poured out into their life this year in order for them to be everything that we would hope they would be, but more than that, everything that God wants them to be? How shall we season them? How shall we go about our work? Last night, here at Concordia, we had a very special celebration. If you'll allow me a moment to retell it, it's somewhat significant, a benchmark in our congregation's history. Last night, we celebrated Orv and Sandy Bope, and we commended them as they prepare to relocate closer to Sandy's children out in Colorado. And we said goodbye to dear Orv and Sandy, who have traditionally been around more often than not on Saturday evenings as of late in our Saturday evening worship service. Orv is a ripe 95 years old, about to turn 96. And Orv has the distinction of bearing the name Bope. And they were, his great-grandfather and family were the founding members of this congregation 143 years ago. To hear the stories from Orv about what life was like in Kirkwood back in the 30s and 40s when they owned most of the homes about five blocks north of here, and all the doors didn't have locks on them, and basically no one knew where any of their own Bope children were. They just assumed that someone in the family was watching them because they were plenteous. Germans had a way of making the world plenteous. Lots of kids, lots of grandkids. But we come to this time, and Orv is the last, at least by name, the last Bope. I bring with me a little plaque that hangs outside my office. I see it most every day of my life over the past 11 years, and I'll leave it out there. You can peruse it. But it's the founding fathers of Concordia, backed up, I have no doubt, by founding mothers who were even more strong. And this little plaque says, Peter Bope Sr., who was a shoemaker by trade, was the man with the vision and will to found a Lutheran congregation in Kirkwood. Born in Gravenhain, Hesse-Darmstadt in Germany in 1812, Peter and his family moved to Kirkwood from De Pere in the winter of 1865. I always think that's kind of funny, like you move from De Pere to Kirkwood. It takes 3 minutes to get from De Pere to Kirkwood in my car right now. Back in the days of horse and buggy, it must have taken about an hour, I guess. So, you know, that's when you call U-Haul and say, let's move the kids, honey. And after settling there, after settling in De Pere and having been members of St. Paul Lutheran Church, in 1873, he and his three sons, Peter, Henry, and Theodore, made the vision come alive when, after obtaining a letter of permission from Pastor August Lehman of De Pere, they built our first chapel on West Madison Avenue near his home. And when it was completed, they invited Lutherans from the area to join with them in establishing a congregation. The building was completed, a constitution drawn up and signed by nine Kirkwood tradesmen, and a dedication service was held on May 25th, 1874. And that was the beginning of our Kirkwood Church. And over the past 143 years, the Bope family has been a significant part of it. On the one side, I think about what was going through the mind of those senior Bopes, those founding members of many different names as well. And part of that must have been, what's the recipe? How do we ensure that we raise our children and our grandchildren, our families that are living in this frontier land of the 1850s, 60s, 70s Missouri? How do we ensure that we have the recipe by which we will raise our families successfully? And it's a question that carries on to this day. And so I ask you, what's the recipe for your own great life? Today I want us to look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, and I want to think a little bit differently about our self-consumed lifestyle, where on every flipboard page we flip, every newspaper article or blog we read, there are 3 or 5 or 7 or 10 points by which to improve our functioning in every and any way. Leadership in business, being a husband or wife, being a good neighbor, saving for retirement, all the steps by which we construct a great life. That ultimately is not the question underneath Matthew chapter 14. The great life that is framed in Matthew 14 is not our life, it's the life of God's Son, Jesus. The focus of Matthew 14 is not how we are to find self-fulfillment in this world. The focus in Matthew 14 is to shine the spotlight on God's plan from all time and eternity, so that we may be blessed through that life, God's recipe, in other words, and how therefore we can look forward to being with God as the highest aspiration of who we are as human beings. Interestingly enough, as Jesus was speaking to the crowds, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, it's getting late, send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and get foods. It was a management issue. It was just sheer management, sprinkled with a little compassion. The disciples knew that there wasn't enough food there, at least from their perspective, vantage point, and so they said, send them away, let's call it a night, start fresh early tomorrow morning. It's kind of their intention. I know that by ethnic background, the disciples were Jewish and Hebrew, but I assume because of their management, you know, and micromanagerial propensity, they were probably good Germans as well. They could fit in quite well in a German Lutheran congregation. You may not know this, but all of those jokes that start out with how many blank does it take to change a light bulb started out with the simple joke, how many Germans does it take to change a light bulb? Because there's always a management opinion when Germans are gathered together. And the disciples were just working on management here. How do we feed people? But then Jesus says the most important thing that he could say. He said it's not necessary for them to leave because the recipe for their nourishment is already here. And he says these words, you feed them. The recipe that God has in mind when it comes to conveying the love of God in Christ Jesus, the mission of God's Son, is you. It's you. When God wants to make sure that His grace goes out into all the world, He doesn't come up with some supernatural cosmic plan that involves lights and laser shows and extraterrestrial invasions of angelic forces. He looks and He says, "You're good enough. Get to it." When God wants to feed nations and overcome things like malaria and dysentery and mass starvation and terrorism, he doesn't call on heaven to make that happen. He calls on the people of earth. He calls on you. When God wants to raise children in the Christian church, He doesn't say, let's hire as many possible professional ministers as we possibly can. He says, let's look at the parents and say that you are the primary agents of your child's Christian faith formation. He looks at you. When your sons and daughters, adult as they may be, are falling off the rail, sometimes you call the pastor. But God says the recipe by which I redeem the lives of adult children who are going off the rails is not by calling a pastor and having him do an intervention, although that may be some helpful catalyst. The way I go about it is by saying to the aging parents, you're still parents, get to work, it's you. And it's you, not as a cry of dereliction or woe is God, it's the best he's God. It's you because he says it's possible. He has put in you His Spirit. He has given you a heart of wisdom. You have enough experience and you have enough Christianity in you for this moment in time to figure this out. You are not handicapped. You are well-handed. You are well-supplied by the God and Father whose Spirit lives in you. His redeeming grace for you is so first and foremost you may be fed with the bread of life, and that by being fed with the bread of life you may have hope, that in knowing that your sins are forgiven your soul may rest assured that if God is for you, who else can be against you? But that's not the end of His restorative grace. That's not the end of His redeeming love. The end of His redeeming love, over and against every protestation that you may bring to Him, Jesus said, you feed them. You get to work. There's a lot of conversation about what goes into great parenting, how it is that you'll be great parents for Ruth or for Ruthie or for Eleanor or for Andy. how you'll go about being great grandparents for your grandchildren who are growing up in a confused and confusing world, how you'll be this and how many you'll be that. What are the steps that you can take in order to put together that perfect recipe in order to improve people's lives? But here's the main ingredient, here is the main technique, here is what Gordon Ramsay could only dream about on his shows and what the Food Network would only wish to produce, and that is that you are recreated by God as His child, so that every need you meet in this world that a soul has, you have the capacity in you to meet it. Not because of your brilliance, but because of the Spirit living in you. Not because you are creative and you're a genius at putting together a new sauce, but because the Ancient of Days who fills the body of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, that is the content of your message. The message that you put your hope in and the message that you now bear to the world. Don't get caught up with the self-absorbed thought of what do I have to do in order to make my life great. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, who's the author and perfecter, not just of your faith, but the faith of everyone who's entrusted to your care as well. And then listen to His words. You feed them. Speak the word. Trust that God puts others in your life who will similarly serve Him by speaking that word to you. Pastors in a pulpit, a chancel on Sunday morning, fellow Christians that surround you over coffee, in a Bible study, in a prayer group, on a mission trip, wherever it is. We said goodbye to Orv Bope last night. He sat right there where Bob Gill's sitting right now, in front of that second post. Saturday night is a warm and friendly worship service. It is, I would argue, I love you guys, but it's my favorite worship service of the weekend. It's just like a hot fudge Sunday of love and care and compassion, and small enough where everybody kind of knows each other. And for the 11 years that I've been in this pulpit, the 4 years we celebrate Pastor Meggers having been in this pulpit, it's a trustworthy and sure thing to always start out by saying, I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, and know that Orv Bope, for 95 years of his life, has sat in this sanctuary and heard that word over and over and over again. To wonder where in these later days he is being led by God, to hope and pray that the church that he lands in with his dear wife Sandy, it better be a good one that does justice to the ministry of this congregation over our 143 years, that raised his father and grandfather and great-grandfather to a degree. You are precious in the sight of God just as much as Orv is. Every time I lay eyes on each of you, whether you are new to this congregation or have been here for 95 years, it's with the same prayer that you would know your great place in the kingdom. One, not just to be saved by Jesus, but one also to be sent by Jesus. He has purchased and won you to be redeemed and now to be deployed. And that you'd get after that work with those entrusted to your care in honor of the great life that God has brought before our very eyes and revealed to us, the great life of Jesus, for whom you are its recipe and mission. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.